tonight as a call for spiritual awareness. Jesus was attempting to make the church at Laodicea wake up and see themselves. The lesson tonight, stay woke. And as I look at the text, and it's a very fascinating text when you pull together the history of Laodicea with the actions of the Laodiceans and with the words that Jesus gives to the Laodiceans. But first, in the text, when we look at verse number 14, Jesus, as he writes, he instructs John to write, and refers to himself in at least three ways. He first of all says, he said, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, he said, first of all, these things saith the Amen. He calls himself the Amen. What did he mean by calling himself the Amen? This speaks to the fact that there is completeness and finality in the words that Jesus was about to say to the Laodiceans. He's the Amen because before him there is none other, and after him there is none other. Nobody can come after him and refute what he is about to say. He is the Amen. Not only is he the Amen, but he's also the faithful and true witness. When you think about Jesus, Jesus was deity. He was both God and man. There would not have been a need for him to have faith. The faith that is spoken of here is talking about the fact that he was a faithful servant. Jesus has always been a faithful servant. Matter of fact, he's described in the scriptures as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you know, when you have a friend that will stick with you, when you have a friend that will stand by you through thick and thin, and you have a friend that will be willing to tell you not what you want to hear, but one that will tell you what you need to hear, that's a wonderful possession. And he calls himself the faithful and true witness. I've been a faithful servant, and what I'm about to witness to you is true. It may not be what you want to hear, but it's a true witness. And not only does he call himself the Amen, and not only does he call himself the faithful and true witness, he also calls himself the beginning of creation. When he talks about the fact that he is the beginning of creation, it just underlines the fact that he's seen it all. We talk about in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 17, the Bible says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Jesus knows it all. And so when he looked at them and said, I know your works, he wasn't just making a statement. Jesus knew exactly what was going on in the lives of the Laodiceans. And you know, the thing that I ought to get from this, and all of us ought to get from that, just the same way he looked at the Laodiceans and said, I know your works, he looks at Patrick Worthy. I know your works. He looks at every member of the body of Christ here, and he's able to say, I know your works. So Jesus, from the vantage point of his knowledge as the master teacher, as well as being the Amen and the faithful and true witness and the beginning of creation, along with some apparent knowledge that Jesus had about Laodicea itself, uses this knowledge to cast judgment on the church as well as corrective discipline to God's people. When I think about the fact he says, I know your works, David cooperates with that thought in Psalm chapter 139 and verse number 10, where he says, oh Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You know my down sitting, you know my uprising. You understand my thoughts from afar. Even before it's a word on my tongue, you know it all together. We serve a God who knows us. And it's through this fact that Jesus knew the church at Laodicea, and Jesus knew something about the city of Laodicea, that Jesus begins to make his teaching points to this church. Now I want you to look at some of the historical points about Laodicea. Laodicea did not have its own water supply. It depended on piped water from the hot springs of Areopolis. It also depended on water that was brought in or piped in from another source, which was cold water. Make a note of that. It was a very prosperous area. It was one that was a banking and exchange center that generated great wealth in this particular region. Not only that, it had other industries as well. It was a center in which they sold and produced a very high quality of wool. And it was featured in, it was a black wool that was considered very luxurious, and it was considered very valuable. And centered around this was a large wool and clothing work that was done in making these garments. Not only that, within Laodicea, there was a medical school which developed a very famous remedy that was utilized in Laodicea, which was an eye salve that was used to cure inflammation of the eye. And it was constructed out of the hot waters, the mud from the hot waters that were piped in to the city. It was a region that was so prosperous that even though it was under an empire, at one point, the city was almost completely destroyed by an earthquake. And even though it was under Roman rule, the Romans came to Laodicea and offered them some subsidies to pay for the rebuilding of Laodicea. But they were so well off that they refused the subsidy. This is all in the history of Laodicea. And it's apparent that Jesus knew all about these historical points, because Jesus used these points to make some very serious lessons and applications on the lives of the Laodiceans. Look at what he says when we go back to the text. He said, I would that you were cold or hot. I would that you were cold or hot. The waters, again, that came from the hot springs of Areopolis were hot. But then cold water came from another source into the city. And when it came together, it resulted in a lukewarm mixture of water that was neither therapeutic or refreshing. Jesus uses the unappealing taste of the local drinking water to cast judgment upon the church. He said, I wish you were hot. I wish you were cold. I wish at least you had either the therapeutic power or the healing power of the hot water, or you had the refreshment of the cold water, but you just neither. He said you need to be cold or hot. The church cannot provide refreshment for the spiritually weary or healing for the spiritually sick. They were just lukewarm. They had allowed their possessions and their priorities to affect their position. You know, it's easy to look at Laodicea and say, oh, what a group of unthankful. A group of self-absorbed. A group of individuals who have misplaced priorities. It's easy to look down upon them, but I wonder, what does God see when he looks down on us? What does God see when he looks into my heart? How would God assess the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ? Would he see us as a Laodicea? Would he see us as a group of individuals who look at ourselves and look at our accomplishments and look at the things that we've been able to do and look at ourselves and say, oh, I don't need anything. We're doing just fine. These individuals had come to a point in which their assessment of their lives and their assessment of where they were was completely out of tune with the way that God saw them. I don't know about you, that's a scary thought to me. To know that I could be so far off, and the thing of it is, it's terrible than the fact that they had this mindset, but I just believe that they didn't even realize that they had this mindset. We got to stay woke. It's almost like Jesus is saying to them, you need to get in or you need to get out. A lukewarm Christian can do more to harm the church than an outright enemy of the faith. I would that you were cold. Now the Bible talks about those whose love had grown cold. They're out there. But when you have a lukewarm fervor, and you see yourself or you view yourself in one way, and your life does not depict the life of someone who's on fire for the word of God, I could do so many things to harm the church. But we got to be individuals that stay woke. I want you to get with for me 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and I just want to look at a few verses of scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3. And Peter is given an exhortation in this particular text to steadfastness. And he uses several verses which I believe seem to re-emphasize this same thought. In verse number 1 of 2 Peter chapter 3, he said, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind. Peter saw the need to stir us up. Sometimes we need to get stirred up. To stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Then he goes on to say, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles, and of the Lord and Savior. You need to be stirred up. Look at what he says in verse, and I don't have time to read all the verses in between, but he goes on to talking about those things that are going to come and the fact that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise in verse 9. But then go to verse number 11. He's saying, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Seeing the things that are about to happen, seeing the things that are going on around us, we need to stay woke. Look at what it says in verse number 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, he said, be diligent. I can't be lukewarm. I got to be diligent. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and without blameness. Then look what he says in verse number 17. He said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. We better stay woke. Stay woke. Then, as I go back to Revelation, as I stated at the outset, this was a prosperous city, banking and industry, and had many. And many of those individuals had profited from the prosperous nature of the city. And many of these individuals had apparently been lulled into a sense of spiritual apathy based on a false sense of security with things. You know, people can become confident with things. Just a short time ago, I saw someone that was a member here at Greenville. And I'm be careful, and I don't. And I saw this individual. And I hadn't seen this individual in a long time. And this individual had gone from us and made some significant accomplishments academically and professionally. And when I saw this individual, I said, I haven't seen you in the church in quite a while. Where are you worshiping? And this individual responded by saying, nowhere. And I said to this individual, I said, you know, we would love to see you come back and be with us. You know, you need to be here. The response that I received was just a response here. This person said, I'm good. I'm good. And that's the response that these individuals have to the relationship with God. Look at what it says. So then, because, back to verse number 17, it says, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? There are many who have fallen into a sense of security on the basis of things. They say, I'm rich and I'm prosperous. I got some money in the bank. I got plenty in my 401k. I got a wonderful job. Everything is going fine. I'm good. But Jesus said, you're poor. I'm increased with good. I don't have need for anything. Jesus said, you're wretched. Oh, I feel fine about the way things are. Everything is falling the way I really want it to fall right now. Everything is coming together just the way I want it to. Jesus said, you're miserable. But as far as I can see, everything is just the way I want it. I love the way my life is going. I'm not including the Lord in there, but as far as I can see, everything is going to go according to plan. But Jesus is saying, you're blind. Oh, I'm doing all right. I wear Michael Kors and Armani and all the best designer. I got clothes. They wore the finest of wool in Laodicea. It was a place in which they came together, and it was a fashion center. But Jesus looked at him and said, "You're naked." The worst thing about their condition is that their total ignorance of the position that they were in. And I'm convinced that it can happen to us. It can happen to us. It can slowly happen to us. We slowly began to trust in things, or even slowly begin to trust in ourselves, and slowly begin to pull away from God. Jesus was saying that you've made a mistake here, and you haven't reassessed, or you have not assessed yourself in the way that you should. But then look at what he says in verse number 18. He says, "I counsel thee. I counsel thee." He says, what I want you to do is to buy of me. Buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Jesus counseled them to buy of me. And what he's saying, the of me is an emphatic statement. He's saying that in the midst of a financially prosperous church, he's saying that true wealth is only available from the Son of God. He said, "I counsel you to buy of me." 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7. Look at what it says. "I counsel thee," 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse number 7. He said that the trial of your faith, he said, being much more what? Much more precious than that of gold. And not only of gold, but gold that what? It perishes. I know that we look at gold, and gold is it's an alloy that lasts forever and ever, but if for no other reason it perishes, it's going to perish because one day you're going to be separated from your gold. He said, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. If you really want wealth, it comes from God. Jesus says, he said, "I counsel you to buy of me." And it's interesting he used the term "buy of me." I can't pay for it with money. The true wealth, it doesn't come from money. It can't be purchased with money. But true wealth comes from the payment of an obedient faith to God. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 1 through verse number 3. And look what Isaiah says about the true wealth and the fact that this true wealth, it doesn't come from money. It's not come from things that I can use to purchase, but the true wealth comes from a relationship with God. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 1 through 3. Isaiah says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that what? Have no money, come ye and buy." You come here without money and still buy and eat. "Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Next verse. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread?" In other words, why are you spending money on that which is not going to do you any good? and your labor for that which satisfies not. The things of this world were never meant to satisfy us. There's always going to be a part of us that will never be satisfied with stuff. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Next verse. Incline your ear. Here's a payment right here. Incline your ear. Listen to what I have to say. Come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. If I really want to live on this earth, my living is not going to be enhanced by things and by goods and by wealth. If I really want to live on this earth and have things that touch my soul, it's only going to come through my relationship with God. When I think about this, not only does he talk about saying, buy of me those things, but look what he says again, going back to Revelation. And then he says, again, buy of me gold tried with fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment. They're talking about our relationship with God. We're clothed in righteousness. That's what keeps us from being naked. And that thou may be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And then Jesus again uses his apparent knowledge of the industry of the eye salve there in Laodicea. He said, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou might see. He said, put eye salve on your eyes so that you can see. They had the eye salve that was made there in Laodicea that was a treatment for inflammation. But he said, I want you to put on the eye salve that you can see things spiritually the way that they are. Psalm chapter 19 and verse number 8. Psalm chapter 19 and verse number 8. We're talking about this idea of the eye salve. The word of God is the eye salve. The Bible said, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is what? Pure. And what does it do? It enlightens the eyes. If we want to see, we're going to have to stay with the word of God. Church, we got to stay woke. We got to stay woke. And then look what he says. In verse number 19, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Jesus said, listen, I'm only telling you this because I love you, because I want the best for you. I know you're looking at the banking center, you're looking at your wealth, and you're looking at all the goods that you've acquired. You're looking at all the things that you've that make you feel good about yourself. But I want you to understand, those things are not going to handle it for you. Those things are not going to get you where you need to be. I'm telling you this. I'm chastening you in this way. I'm telling you I don't want you to be lukewarm. I'm telling you I'd rather spew you out of my mouth, because I'm hoping you'll come to a point get to a point that you will repent and make a change in your life. Then he says, this is the beauty of the Savior. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, every time I read that, it just challenges me. We're talking about the creator of all mankind. Yes, sir. The giver of every good and perfect gift. Everything that I have and everything that I could ever want to be, everything that I could ever desire to be, it all comes from him. But yet this Savior, this faithful Savior, this servant, this amen, is so humble that he said, behold, I'm just going to stand at the door and knock. What kind of Savior is this? He made me. Everything I have belongs to him. He's inviting me to a better life, but then all he's going to do is stand at the door and knock. That's a mighty Savior. And that's a Savior we should always want to listen to. God help us to stay woke. Let's not be lulled into sleep by the things of this world. Stay woke. Don't look around at the political climate and see that or think that there's helplessness or hopelessness in this world. No, stay woke. Don't look around at society or things around you and give up hope on life and some of the things that sometimes discourage us. No, stay woke. As a church, we are a church that has done some wonderful things, accomplished some wonderful things, but we can't just go back looking at the past. We got to stay woke and keep moving forward. In my own spiritual life, yes, God has blessed us all to accomplish great things and to do great things, but it's not about what I had back then or what I did back then. I got to keep going forward. Got to keep going forward. Got to stay woke. Bible put it another way, be sober. You know, drunk people always fall asleep, don't they? Prince drink, get drunk, feeling good. Next thing they want to do is go to sleep. And all kind of things can happen to them. But we got to stay woke. Stay woke. I hope you've gotten something from the lesson tonight. And I just hope that God will bless us all to be a people that continue to be alert in doing those things that God has called us to do. Things that are written were written for our learning. And I think we can learn a lot from Laodicea. And probably, if truth be known, there's a lot of things, maybe a lot of similarities between us and Laodicea. And let us not let the things that are always in front of us deter us from the kind of life that God has called us to live. Let's not be lukewarm. Let's be on fire. Let's always have a greater desire to serve God in the way that we should. Here tonight, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, we invite you to become a member. Hear the word of God, believe the same, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, go down to the watery grave of baptism, arise to walk in the newness of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, the word of God is a way that can help you to stay woke, to look at this world in the way that it really is. Amen. If you're here tonight and you are a member of the Lord's church, and maybe you've been lulled by some of the things of this world into a false Amen. Sense of security, wake up and stay woke. There's something that's holding you back from living your life the way that you should. Make it right tonight. Come forward and let us pray for you so that you can live your life in a way Amen. That's pleasing and acceptable. Let's not live lukewarm lives, church. Let's live lives that are on fire for the Master. If anyone has a need, we ask you please come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
When the Savior calls, I will answer, and when he calls for me, I will hear, and when the Savior calls, I will answer, and I'll be somewhere listening for my name, and I'll be somewhere listening, and I'll be somewhere listening, and I'll be somewhere listening for my name, and I'll be somewhere listening, and I'll be somewhere listening, and I'll be somewhere listening for my name.